The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to a special event, Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. I got my little buddy Dom here with me in Madison. Glorious. Beautiful, partial eclipse, Madison, Wisconsin, and the important special event happening, not just Dom's arrival,
what?
But also...
Wait, there's more?
There's more. You get the Genzu knives plus student loan relief from President Joe Biden. A little newsworthy. Very excited to have my president here.
Yeah, even. Big deal. Taking another stab at it after Republicans took him to court on the last one. Now, Joe says this one's going to be, you know, more... I don't know what legally sound than the last effort.
Different legal premise, yes, under which this student loan debt relief will come. If you don't follow the Devil's Advocates, you should, because I got all kinds of postings, including the president, on my Facebook page, our Facebook page, the Devil's Advocates. You know, I was getting away from myself there. Kind of like U.S. senatorial candidate Eric Hudvey.
Oh, man. This one is particularly... loathsome.
Why particularly loathsome? Isn't this standard course for Wisconsin Republicans at this point?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, a glutton for punishment. Maybe I expect more, but well, I continue to get less and less and less from the burning embers of what once was the grand old party.
Well, there was the candidacy for the Supreme Court of Dan Kelly. He was a fine one. Oh, okay. Can't spell Kelly without two L's. You had the Tim Michaels who came, you know, flew into Wisconsin.
From the East Coast, called us all lazy.
Well, called us, exactly, lazy. And then a similar carpetbagger from the West Coast down. Now, this one at least went to high school here, but, you know, doesn't spend much time here lately, mostly in the Laguna Beach, where he's often named one of the most influential citizens in the sunny Southern California, Dom. But today he took a stab at politicking. And he's not great at this yet. You know, these business executives, they come into the political realm. They think they're gonna
run it like a business. It's not how it works, Eric.
Well, he's got the self-funding part, or at least grandpa funding part down. But here is how my favorite aggregator, the Raw Story, is covering it, Dom. Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate Eric Hudvey expressed doubts about the 2020 election results. He's one of those. He did get the endorsement. He kissed the Cheeto Messiah's ass last Tuesday and got the endorsement from Trump when he was in Green Bay. But back to the Eric Hudvey. He argued that nursing home residents are too close to death to vote. Newly released audio shows. Now, this was really strange. And our friends over at the Heartland Signal found these comments made on the Guy Benson show when Hudvey, apparently an esteemed guest, Dom. And when he was asked, that's Hudvey, where he stood on former President Donald Trump's ongoing conspiracy theories about the 2020 presidential election, you know, being stolen and rigged. Stolen, I tell you. Well, we've got the sound.
We do.
We've got the sound, so let's play for the audience, because you may not know this candidate. He spends most of his time on the West Coast, but
well,
here he is.
Come on, he comes to Wisconsin occasionally to jump in the lake and challenge Tammy Baldwin to, what, get in the cold water with him?
Cold off.
Cold off, bro?
Cold off, bro. It's not the ALS ice bucket challenge. It's the Laguna Beach porn-stachioed Eric Hudvey's challenger challenge. Well, anyways, let's hear what he had to say, and you're going to want to listen to the end. Please indulge us as Rich plays Republican senatorial candidate and not a big admirer of the seniors, apparently, Eric Hudvey. Play it.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in election that were very troublesome? Absolutely. And I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big
and
way
Republican.
To push out, working with cities to push out Democratic votes. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated, where you had 100%
where the
voting
charges?
In nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody
what?
In a nursing home is in a point to vote. I'm not going to spend my time talking.
What?
Grandma's going to die?
This is terrible, man.
In 4 to 5 months? I mean, has he done the statistics on this? This seems very grab for mass.
My mother's been in a memory care unit for a couple of years now. And many of the residents that are in there have been there a long time. Now, some have come and gone. But most of them, when I go and visit, I see a lot of the same faces month after month after month. So maybe it's different than a quote-unquote nursing home. But according to the interwebs, Crudy, seniorhomes.com, there are just under 18,000 people living in Wisconsin's 344 nursing homes. And according to Eric Hovde, they can't vote because they're almost dead. And the Racine County Sheriff in Wisconsin did an investigation.
100% voting turnout.
Apparently. Which
where are the charges?
Where are the charges? What and what? And who did they vote for?
We did an investigation at Joe Biden. Where are the charges? See the difference? Like with Trump, there were 91 charges. That's been knocked down to 88 felonies. But they did the investigation and there was actually some there. But back to Mr. Hudvey, a banking and real estate development executive has already faced a number of controversies in his bid to unseat Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. She was not at the rally today, but the mention of her name, and Joe Biden did acknowledge the fine senator here from the state of Wisconsin. Last time through, he did acknowledge Rojo, but for a whole different reason. And the crowd, the Democratic supportive crowd for Joe Biden at the MATC today, warm ovation for Tammy Baldwin. She was probably the warmest ovation for anyone not in there.
Right.
But Hudvey has been in a multi-decade-long fight to tear down a beloved family bar in Madison and has said that in the ideal world, and this is where he lost me, Dom, alcohol wouldn't be legal for commercial sale.
This keeps getting worse. And so, no, the election wasn't stolen, but no, the Racine County Sheriff, who I'll remind the audience, as soon as weed became legal in Illinois, you know, put the threat out to anyone happened to be driving north from Chicago up to, you know, Wisconsin and wherever they go from there on 94, that they're going to very, you know, strongly and powerfully enforce the prohibition anti-weed laws here in the state of Wisconsin. And if this guy, apparently, I think he's also a member of the Sheriff's Constitution wackadoodle organization, right? Like they think that as a constitutional sheriff, that there is no higher power than the sheriffs in their communities. Okay, sir, if you did an investigation, then certainly you have a problem with it. Why don't you, you know, indict somewhere or recommend indictments to the DA? Where's that? And why do you have a problem with old people voting? Well, I don't understand that, Eric. Why do you hate old people?
If they didn't vote for Trump, then they must be senile.
They must be. I mean, they only got, you know, 5 months to live. I mean, that was so obscene. It's so wrong. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
I don't want to live in a nursing home.
Apparently, you go into a nursing home and you die in 4 or 5 months. I'm sorry, 5 or 6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. Quote unquote. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. Well, whatever the hell that means, you know how these guys are with their words, but presumably he's saying they are not, what, smart enough, with it enough,
I hope
they're enough.
If I die the day after the election, I hope I cast a vote the day of the election. Even if they're at the end of their lives, unless they have been legally determined by a judge to be mentally incapacitated legally. That's a legal standard.
Well, you can't just say Ma's crazy.
You can't, because everybody thinks their Ma's crazy.
I'm just saying, it might be true. I love you, Ma.
It might be true. But you know what I mean? There is a standard. So you saying, I don't think my dad should have voted for Biden or would have ever voted for Biden.
Well, I'm not clear they even know who they voted for. You know what I'm saying? Who's to say they didn't vote for Trump? You know the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. And what does it do? It number one, it is disparaging to the elder population. Number one, almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote, quote unquote, whatever the hell that means from the guy out west. But presumably he's ripping on like they're less than normal citizens. They're less than the 18-year-olds. They're in a nursing home. Well, people can be in nursing homes and be, physically impaired one way or another and still have their wits about them. And other folks can be, taking their shirt off and jump into the lake and look like they're in pretty good shape, but say stupid things like this.
When you talked about people, living amongst us somehow being mentally incapacitated for a moment, I lingered, lingered on you, Dom, and thought there are many, many gaps to your memory through the years that I have found myself filling.
Now, my memory looked at the eclipse for too long, man. That's what happened.
That can do things to your brain. Eric Hudvey, I've invited him on this show multiple times through Ben Vogel, who is often doing the spokespinning for the Hudvey
campaign. And he was Senator Johnson's press guy back then.
We know him.
Yeah.
We were, always fair to Ron when he came in studio, Ron Johnson. It is his birthday today. I think I'd like to buy him a beer.
You go do that.
Should we invite Ron back on the show?
That's now? I don't want, insurrectionist bastards on the show, but if you want to give the guy a platform and he shows up.
What about Hudvey?
Yeah.
He thinks your grandma's going to die.
Yeah, come on, man. Almost nobody in nursing homes is in a point to vote. What does that even mean?
If you live in a nursing home, do not vote for Eric Hudvey. He obviously does not want the seniors' votes. Too close to death.
I mean, just hurry up and die. I mean, isn't that the healthcare answer? They do have a healthcare plan.
Well, I believe it was Congressman Alan Grayson, former congressman, the Republican plan. Die quick!
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates. She packed up her bags
and she took off down the road. And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us on this fine program. Toll free on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, before we get back to them, a little speculative reporting on the political side over at the Journal Sentinel. Keeping her close to home. If the president comes to my town, we're to play a little backyard politics.
Hey, if the president's in town, it makes it national news, baby.
Well, this is not the national news, but we're going to play it like it is. Former Assembly Speaker, that's Wisconsin Assembly Speaker, Mike Sheridan, considering Democratic run for Congress in the Bryan Style District. That's CD1 to you and I, Dom. And the Democratic primary to challenge Republican Rep. Bryan Style for his southeastern Wisconsin House seat. Could soon grow. There are two former electeds, at least minority leader. Barker was the minority leader, but let's get back to him. Former Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Mike Sheridan, a Janesville Democrat, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Monday he's considering a campaign for the first congressional district, CD1, the fighting first. And he said a potential run from former Democratic Congressman Peter Barker would not dissuade him from joining the race. Peter can't clear the decks like that, Dom. Here's his statement. This, the statement of Mike Sheridan. I just think we need some leadership. We need people with the ability to get things done. I think this is the time. If I'm going to do it, I need to take a serious look at it now. Yes, because come April 15th, 1 week from today, candidates can start gathering qualifying petition signatures.
Oh, on the anniversary of Donald Trump's first criminal trial. Excellent.
Yes, April 15th, a monumental day. And it will be in the state of Wisconsin, I hope, because with all new districts now, 99 new assembly districts and half the Senate up for grabs, I hope there are all sorts of people getting ready. There was some young lady that was clearly gearing up a campaign video before the Biden thing.
Oh, yeah.
Her girlfriend was shooting the video.
Yeah.
And she did a couple takes. And she's either some sort of influencer, but she looked more like someone that was getting ready to roll a campaign office.
And yeah.
Was using a little, you know, selfie video.
New York Times had a piece over the weekend we posted on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page articulating that very specifically. Folks are like looking at the maps and thinking, just like this guy Sheridan. Wow, there's an actual, you know, an opportunity here. Someone, I'm not going to just martyr myself and waste the time getting, you know, get my ass beat by 20 points. But these are some, challengeable districts out there.
Including Wisconsin CD8, which is Mike Gallagher's former seat.
Yes.
I heard from Trigby Olson at the Lincoln Project. He likes Dr. Kristen Lyerly's chances. She's raised about $200,000. Not bad over the launch weekend.
But yeah.
Her newest Trump-endorsed opponent on the Republican side, this Wyatt Weed guy, the former Dino Stop guy.
Oh, the gas station owner.
Well, presumably he's a self-funder.
They love those.
Well, you know, so a couple hundred grand, it's not going to stack a lot of wood compared to some millionaire sort. But anyways, this Mike Sheridan, the former Speaker of the Assembly, a good Janesville Democrat, considering running for the Congress, as is our buddy, Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca, who was the former Assembly Minority Leader, and he used to serve in that seat. Barca was a congressman, right? Now, there are currently two Democrats. We've had both of these candidates on our show. Lorenzo Santos, who is he's an intriguing young guy. Yep. I like him. He's the Deputy Emergency Management Coordinator in Racine County. And Racine native Diane Anderson, she's also been on the show with us, Tom. Currently the only Democrats in the race.
So two going to potentially four.
Yeah, could broaden that race. You know, we don't need 100 entrants into the first, but I would say, and I do like both the current candidates. They both seem like nice people. But you would love to see someone that's run a campaign before, maybe has a few political donors in their back pocket. And I don't have the relationship with Mike Sheridan that I do with Peter Barca, but I think Peter Barca, considering he has won that seat before, I think that does give him an inside track, but I'm not a local down there in the first CD. What I do know is this Brian Stile, who is like Central Casting's version of a congressman. I think he's a stuffed suit. You know, he looks the part.
I don't even know.
But
what
all
that's
he does is
mean.
Echo back the MAGA stuff.
Of course, I mean,
he's a clean cut white kid from the Midwest.
And Paul Ryan's driver.
Yes, he looks like a less pencil-necked Paul Ryan. Good hair, good Wisconsin boy. Probably does what his mama tells him.
Towing the line for the mega.
I hear his grandma's going to die in the next 4 to 5 months, though.
I mean, you better go visit now, folks. That's what Hubdy says. Sheridan said this. Somebody needs to stand up to Trump, and they're all ducking and hiding. I've just seen so much it's hard to sit by and watch this train wreck, and nobody's trying to fix it. As the Journal Sentinel reports, still, Barca's potential entrance into the race could pose a big challenge for Sheridan. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, House Democrats' main campaign arm, has for months encouraged Barca to enter the race. Barca told the Journal Sentinel and could support Barca resources should he choose to run. Sheridan, a former United Auto Workers president on Monday, acknowledged Barca is also considering a run, said a primary is going to be challenging, but Sheridan said he has been making calls to checking the temperature about making a run of his own, declined to elaborate on those discussions. I certainly have not made a final decision. A lot of it depends on what kind of support is out there.
844-967-2789. If you can, Harrison, CD number one, let us know. Any preferences? Certainly anyone's better than Brian Stile. Kenneth from Stoughton. Welcome, Kenneth. What do you got for us?
Hey, Kenneth.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like to definitely take issue with Mr. Hovde's characterization of people in the nursing home. And my four siblings and I, our mother did spend about 6 weeks in the nursing home. She did have some issues with falling and some other things, but she was 100% lucid until the day she died. I mean, had there been an election around the time, and she was a person that voted in every election she could, she was 100% capable of voting. I find that hideous. I mean, it just very, very insulting to nursing homes. I mean, she was there because she physically couldn't get around, not because she was mentally incapacitated.
But Kenneth, you realize that the narrative of the rigging, and this comes from Dan O'Donnell primarily, and his anonymous sources. He never quite told us who actually said this, but, you know, he reports it's true, and, you know, what a reliable source. But effectively, it's this effort to persuade dementia patients or people that are mentally incapacitated. And, you know, because it was a national pandemic, the normal process wasn't possible. So, you know, apparently what? Nursing home aides help people vote. And to hear it told, that shifted the whole election against Donald Trump.
Yeah, those less than 18,000 people in the 340-some nursing homes we have in the state of Wisconsin flipped it all for Biden. Huh?
Well, every one of their kids knows they all would have voted for Trump.
Absolutely.
Left to their own devices and not indoctrinated by some Zuckerbucks or staffers.
This is so stupid.
You know, on their death's door, virtually days from death, and yet still wanted to vote. I'm telling you what, I'd be on my death's door. And I'd be voting.
Absolutely.
Against Trump. Come back. More Devils.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Devils Advocates Radio Show, a special event, Monday edition, Joe Biden in Madison, Dominic Salvia in Madison. It's like stars aligning. It's like some celestial happening.
Oh, and the stars and the moons combining. It's a gorgeous day.
I can't really see you.
Stop looking at the sun,
I burn
man.
My retinas.
Don't do that.
That or, you know. Too much consumption.
He's such a kid.
Dom, got an email overnight from Trump.
Oh, yeah?
The subject line. 1 week until all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Apparently on the Breaking Trump Alert email list, Michael Crute, he knows my name. Aww. I feel so special.
You should give him money.
In 1 week, my sham trial in New York begins. Well, so he bemoans Don, but he made a last-minute Hail Mary filing to the court saying what? He sued the judge. How's that going to work out for him, Tom?
The Washington Post recorded a New York appeals court judge Monday rejected Trump's attempt to delay the hush money trial scheduled to begin on Monday while he pursued an appeal to determine whether a change of venue was necessary outside Manhattan, a largely liberal part of the state. A short time after an emergency hearing, the court issued a decision saying the request for a stay of the trial was denied, effectively ending the matter because a full panel will not review the merits of the request. The Trump team also filed an appeal Monday that named New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan as a defendant over his issuance of a limited gag order ahead of the trial, according to court records and defense arguments. Legal arguments about the gag order are expected to be heard by an emergency appeals court appeals judge on Tuesday. That's tomorrow, Creedy. And at the emergency hearing late Monday afternoon, appeals judge Lisbeth Gonzalez heard arguments from Trump's lawyer, Emil Bove, about a recent survey of Manhattan residents commissioned by the defense. Of those surveyed, 61% said they believe Trump was guilty in the hush money case, according to the attorney. He asked for the trial to be placed on hold. Our point is that jury selection cannot proceed in a fair manner next week in this county. I guess we'll find out. Stephen Wu, attorney for the Manhattan DA's office, argued that selecting a fair jury is possible, even among people who have preconceived notions about the case, if they say they can be fair and evaluate the facts. Wu also said Trump has been seeking much of the media coverage that the defense now says has poisoned the jury pool. You know, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, does press conferences outside of the courthouse, for crying out loud. Wu said this. This is the defendant coming into this argument with unclean hands because the publicity is in large part his own. See you Monday, Trump.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll have comprehensive coverage right here on the greatest radio show ever. Each and every day, we got so many legal eagles in our back pocket, so many good friends. And here's a headline that was brought up earlier, but I think we should delve in a bit. Trump's $175 million bond is even shadier than it looks. This reported at the Daily Beast. The little-known insurance company that rescued Donald Trump by providing a last-minute $175 million bank fraud bond isn't just unlicensed in New York. It hasn't even been vetted by a voluntary state entity that would verify it meets minimum eligibility standards to prove financial stability.
Uh-oh. Hey, trust me. I got a QuickBooks report here. Make a look at my income statement. It's great. It's fine.
Notice the disclaimer can't be trusted. Right. Perhaps even more troubling, Dom. The legal document from the Knight Specialty Insurance Company doesn't actually promise it will pay the money if the former president loses his $464 million bank fraud case on appeal. Instead, it says, Trump will pay. That's not the way a bond is supposed to work. Yeah, right. Negating the whole point of an insurance company guarantee, according to three legal and bond experts who reviewed the contract by the Daily Beast. I will pay you to say, I'll pay later if I lose.
That's literally
not
how it
works. And he's already
lost. If he loses again, if the loss is upheld, which it probably will be.
Dom, in Alex Hanley, an expert in how companies appeal enormous judgments, said, this is not common. The only reason this would be done is to limit the liability to the surety. That's the insurance company, right? These 2 points noted here for the first time validate the New York Attorney General's concerns that Trump's trying to avoid a financial punishment that could be catastrophic to his riches and his reputation. There are many questions here. This, again, the expert. Oh, a different expert. I apologize. Maria Bulo says, there are many questions here, and that short piece of paper gives very little comfort. Yeah, you can't trust short things. I believe this paper isn't worth much, and there are more shenanigans behind it, said one former regulator, who was intimately familiar with the industry norms, but spoke only on the condition of anonymity. After a 3-month trial ended with the state judge concluding that Trump committed bank fraud for a decade by lying about his wealth and property values, the real estate tycoon and top executives were ordered to pay $464 million. That's a lot of jing, Dom, but, you know, then he bonded out at $175 million.
Yeah, but he didn't
and
really.
And apparently the bond says if he loses, that guy will pay.
Yeah, that's not really a bond.
That doesn't give me any reassurance whatsoever.
No.
Because that was the whole point. Now, this company, Dom, this California company tied to Don Hankey Jr., Mr. Hankey.
A
billionaire MAGA supporter who's built a nasty reputation by dealing in subprime auto loans. Those are generally 16, 20, 25%, Dom. It's like buying a used car on a credit card. Hope it keeps running. Right. That have resulted in numerous complaints about predatory business practices, like illegally repossessing the cars of American soldiers. Those are apparently things that he's been accused of, Mr. Hankey Dom. And on Thursday, the Daily Beast, my source material, noted how the Knight Specialty Insurance Company isn't licensed by New York's Department of Financial Services, a detail that has caught the attention of bond experts. What's more, there's more, Dom. The firm's financial statement showed that it doesn't have the surplus to meet the capital requirements for posting the bond. So they're not licensed. They don't have the money. And the contract says
Trump will pay it.
Trump will pay it.
So it's like literally not anything.
Just like federal regulators require financial institutions to have sufficient reserves in case of a run on the banks, New York law limits how much money state-regulated surety companies can post on a single bond to 10% of the firm's total capital in surplus. Ooh, that's going to be a problem. They'd need $1.75 billion cash, right? However, a court filing by the company on Thursday showed that the Knight Specialty only has $138 million in surplus. That's less than the specific bond amount.
What?
Vastly exceeding the government set cap because the Trump bond alone makes up 127% of the company's reserves. So in other words, that company can't afford to pay it either. Well, this is a worthless piece of paper. Based on the financial statement provided, Knight Specialty is providing a bond that is one-third of its total assets and greater than its surplus, which is incomprehensible for a carrier to underwrite, again, according to Bulow, the expert, who was previously the superintendent of the New York Department of Financial Services.
Like, what do they know?
In subsequent court filings, the AG's office immediately questioned whether Knight Specialty was even good for the money. The law enforcement agency said it takes exception to the sufficiency of the surety, noting that Knight Specialty is trying to operate without a certificate of qualification or funds.
Or
in
anything.
In normal circumstances, Dom, defendants like Trump would tap a surety company overseen by state regulators at the DFS, which verifies that an insurer is solvent, responsible, and otherwise qualified to make policies and contracts of the kind required. But Knight Specialty appears to be helping Trump with an alternative option, operating through what's called the excess and surplus lines insurance market. In the industry, he's on the subprime market, Dom. The secondary exchange is typically reserved for high-risk business ventures.
Yeah.
And he's junk bond rated.
He's getting that used car, Crudy.
Or those that have severe loss history. Well, check, check.
Yep.
That makes them untouchable in the primary market, forcing them to find a willing insurer that isn't licensed in their home state. Indeed, the insurance company's president, Amit Shah, made that very point when defending his firm's ability to strike this deal, telling CBS that Knight is not a New York domestic insurer. In New York's surplus lines insurance laws do not regulate the solvency of non-New York excess line insurers. So you can't bind us by New York law. We don't even live here.
So then they don't have to accept the bond, right, Tish James?
Dominic, that's why Knight Specialty's recent finances, which showed that his capital and surplus was even smaller in recent years, were registered with the Surplus Lines Stamping Office of Texas. Gone down to Texas, a government-created nonprofit that tracks these types of figures. You know, you need sort of an insider to help you understand, because the frothy exuberance of the secondary market, Dom, you wouldn't understand. Dominic, New York has a nonprofit like that, too, called the Excess Line Association of New York. ELANI, that's the acronym, states that its role is to facilitate compliance. Well, that's where you lost the Trump firm. By verifying that the secondary market insurers meet eligibility standards in order to underwrite risks presented by Excess Line brokers. The group's communications manager, John Rosenblatt, explained that ELANI conducts a thorough financial examination of every foreign insurer listed. It's a voluntary process, but one that's meant to actually prove that a company is trustworthy and stable. They didn't go through that process.
No, they did not.
The ELANI list is composed of insurers that request to be listed and are approved by ELANI following a thorough analysis of the insurer's financial security. But that raises another issue. Knight Specialty Insurance Company is not on the ELANI voluntary list, Rosenblatt said. And while any company filing these types of transactions to the New York quasi-governmental private sector regulator must use a licensed broker within 45 days, ELANI said it has no knowledge of the specific transaction at this time. furthering the point of just how anomalous this Trump case is, Alani recorded $76 million and $74 million in surety and fidelity transactions in 2022 and 2023.
How much?
That's the entire agency, $76 and $74 million in the calendar years 2022 and 2023. Wow. That means Trump's bond alone would represent double what Alani typically monitors over hundreds of transactions in a given year. And that includes premiums that aren't only tied to court judgments like this one. This is sort of a rough bond, Dom.
Rough bond?
A little rough.
It seems entirely fraudulent and unacceptable.
Dominic, in the interview with CBS last week, Night Specialty's president asserted the company has more than $1 billion in equity. Sound like anyone you know? Like, hey, we have many big buildings.
The $500 million in cash.
The bond it posted on Thursday also included a financial snapshot of the second corporate entity, a similarly named Knight Insurance Company LTD, which lists $1 billion in surplus to policyholders. Sounds like they got two sets of books, Dom. The document seems to suggest that the smaller company is somehow strengthened by the existence of the larger one, but only the smaller company is actually listed right on the bond agreement. In reality, though, a strict reading of bond number 350588 shows that even the smaller company isn't technically on the hook for paying out the $175 million if the higher court ultimately cements his loss to the AG. The judgment, if the judgment is dismissed, Donald J. Trump shall pay the sum directed. That's not a bond. That's not even a promise. That is a worthless piece of paper with Donald Trump's name on it. CGI, I'd buy more stock. Come back, more Devils.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. Time flies when you're having fun, but you can join us 844-967-2789. Stick around. Busted Pencils coming up next.
Dominic, we've got some of the jury questions in the April 15th trial. I'm dying to tell you in the audience, but let's get to some of the patient callers. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison. Welcome back, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, first of all, I'm really happy to hear all that stuff that you brought up earlier, these numbers from Wisconsin. That's just awesome with Biden, Trump from last week. I can't imagine anybody at this point. I mean, it's just insane. And he's going to get crazier as it goes towards the 15th, don't you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear he had a rally today?
Trump did?
An eclipse rally. No glasses necessary. In fact, he said, please don't bring them. And when you go blind, I've already got ballots in 20 states, real ballots with only my name and Barack Obama's on it. So we can't go wrong here. You know, I couldn't beat him in basketball or golf, it was fair, so I'm going to finally beat him on the ballot. You know, I digress. I mean, I just think that this is just going to break really hard. I think it's going to be a blowout.
We talking about tonight's NCAA game? No, I think I got Purdue, baby.
The election. If you got Purdue, I'll take UConn then, Curdy. Thanks for the call.
I've liked Purdue, Dick, since the get-go. I didn't do brackets.
Yeah.
But watching Purdue against the Badgers in the Big Ten tourney, man, the fact that Badgers are the last time Purdue lost, and Zach Edey, I mean, we had like four big guys. We damn near fouled out the whole bench trying to contain this 7-4 monster.
Yeah.
That game played on a different channel tonight. I don't think we got the basketball.
To Dick's point, yeah, it's going to get crazier. And as Donald Trump, you know, gets backed more and more.
Was that Dick's point?
Into the corner. He's going to lash out more. Did you see somebody like lit Bernie Sanders' vestibule office on fire? You see this? I mean,
Vermont.
This is the kind of stuff that's, you know, it's obviously super unfortunate. You can believe what you want on your politics, but you start engaging in violence and mayhem. You know, that's something that everyone should condemn. But Donald Trump, you know, get turned back today by the appeals court. You know, he's going to apparently have a hearing tomorrow on a change of venue, which presumably will also be rejected. But, you know, he's throwing everything at the wall.
Can the judge write a one-word judgment? Just no.
And you know, to go along with this whole bond thing. So I would expect, you know, Tish James, the attorney general in the state of New York. I mean, she came out right away when this thing was out and was questioning the veracity of the bond. With this particular reporting,
I thought
presumably,
she was being a little petty at first, but I know. I see why.
You know what I'm saying? That's, I was like, damn, I mean, girl, it's got this thing already. No, but apparently she probably has some very good reasons to feel the way she does. And if that's the case, you got to expect that's going to be going back into court or challenged in some way, shape, or form.
Can you imagine her reading that in her office aloud with staff? You know, you got him. Son of a beep, 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 beep. 844-967-2789. I'm not trying to encourage the audience. Keep it clean. Wisco Paul, spot of cows for everyone, man. How
hey,
you Paulin. Doing?
That'd be so cool. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devils. Hey, I read that Bryce article today, and he interviewed people going to Trump's rally, and there's no flipping them people. Everything from election was rigged to Trump is God's chosen person or
he's
whatever.
He's the anointed one.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if you... anyway, the Bryce article, if anybody hasn't read it, read it.
You mean Dan Bice? There's no R in there. Yeah. You're confusing us. Just want to be clear. I like to call him the Page Six, but...
Okay,
we're talking about the same guy. Well, that's just Crudy's moniker for it because it's usually the gossip column.
Yeah, well, it was a good article. Anyway, it was a good day for Biden. Hey, by the way, nice call, Dick. But I'm on board with Dick. I think this is going to be a blowout because there's a lot of Republicans that work for Trump that are going, no way, no how. Even the guy they tried to hang is saying, no way, no how.
But that's over his – he's not strident enough anti-abortion, Wisco. That's why Pence is against him this week.
Thanks for the call, Paulie. Yeah. Pence is against him because of the abortion, and Pence said, did not say he would not vote. He didn't commit to voting for Biden or somebody else. You know, he wasn't supporting him in the primary, I guess. So Pence is even a little wishy-washy, but of course he's Pence, and that's what he is. But again, Wisco Paul, I'm with you, man. I think as these things go on, as this trial starts, and you know, people are reminded of the things that Donald Trump has done and continues to do, and he'll continue to lash out, and his supporters will continue to lash out. While it may motivate a certain percentage of the mega base, it turns a lot of other people off. Thanks for the call, Paul. The 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, Donald Trump wants to make us pray again, and that's pray with an E in it, and he just wants to, like Alex Jones.
He better start praying to someone to keep his ass out of prison. That's what he's praying about.
No, he wants to just devour us, that like Hannibal Lecter. So that's what we got to watch out for now.
Cannibalism? You think that's going to be a problem soon, Mark? I've accused our Republican friends of a lot of things, but cannibalism is not what I saw coming.
No, but thank you for the call, Mark. We'll have to see what happens. I mean, he did want to inject things into your, you know,
I will eat your ass
into you, you know, the sunlight and bleach and whatnot. So it's just a way to, you know, soften you up a little bit.
That sounds like Alex Jones.
It's like marinating.
Wasn't Alex Jones the one that was like evaluating the rump roast of his neighbor? Like, if things get weird out there,
yes, I will eat.
I will eat your ass.
And he's a little thick fella. He probably could go a little ways without having too much food, but you know, he probably got a voracious appetite.
Voracious. Excellent word. Excellent guest today.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah. Oh. And Scott Ross. We had Scott Ross in studio earlier today. Hell, I'd like to think we hosted Joe Biden today. Dom.
A little bit.
I don't know if I told you this.
Yeah.
Our billboards. Welcome, President Joe Biden.
Oh, nice.
From the Devil's Advocates. They've been up all afternoon. Hope you saw it, Joe. You know, I'm not sure if they drove by one of the digital billboards, but we'll put it back tomorrow. To tune in to the greatest radio show ever.
I'll be here tomorrow, man. I'll be back again, baby.
So it'll be a special Tuesday edition.
Two in a row.
I have, and you're going to have to remind me of this, I have a proposition.
Yeah?
A third party. We're going to call it the Party Party. I think it could be influential here in the state of Wisconsin. Mandated recreation.